It happens. Can you imagine on the day of Pentecost when the group of disciples, 120 of them, the Bible tells us, were there waiting and praying for the power of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, a rushing wind and tongues of fire fall upon them, and they're no longer the same. In fact, our scripture says that when they began, and if they did begin to tell the story like I've told you this story, people began to laugh and make fun of them. But it was true, and they turned the world upside down. Now, in this church, we are praying that the Holy Spirit will visit us in a very special way. We Baptists fear the Holy Spirit at times, and we don't need to. He is ready and willing and wanting to give us His power. Folks, I have told you over and over, if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, it will not be from strategy or any other thing that we do. It will be because God shows up in His power. And the power of the Holy Spirit is something that I want us to begin praying about. And as I told you last week, it always begins with just a handful, a few, who will believe that and will begin to pray about this. I want to repeat a quote that I read last week, John Piper. He said, "One of the signs that God is going to do a great work is that He begins to stir His people to pray for it. He lays a burden on a person here and a person there. He brings it back to their mind again and again. It stalks them. It drives them to their knees. When God aims to do a great work, the first thing He harnesses is the power of prayer. He starts by planting the spark of desire in a few hearts. Then, through prayer, He fans it into a flame. Then the flame of desire and faith spreads to others. Soon, large numbers are on their knees imploring the great work. Then God acts. Then He pours down His blessing. God loves to do great works of redemption. But even more, He loves to do it in answer to prayer." Will you pray with me? Will you join me? You know, Jesus said, He told us this. Listen, He said in Luke 11:13, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Now, we're going to ask. I'm asking. Do you want me to be a better preacher? Pray that the Holy Spirit will fill me and that I will say exactly what we need to hear. And the Holy Spirit is so present, but I want to tell you, He wants to do more if we want it. If we want it. He's not going to force it on us. No. It is, you know, Charles Spurgeon is one of my favorite preachers, and he said, "I looked to Jesus and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at the dove and He flew away." We're not to concentrate on the Holy Spirit more so than Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus, the Holy Spirit's one of the witnesses pointing to Jesus, but I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is doing a work. In fact, did you know that Jesus, everything Jesus did while He was on earth, He did not do it as God, as the second member of the Trinity, although He was God in the flesh. He did it as a man without sin, fully committed to the power of the Holy Spirit in His life. We know at His baptism, the Holy Spirit fell upon Him. My other favorite member, Chris Aslan, sent me a little article. She had no idea that I have been thinking. I've always believed this, and it's the Holy Spirit who used her as my research assistant to send me this, because you need to hear this so you will believe that the power that came to Jesus, that same power, is available to us. "Wait until the power comes," Jesus said. Listen, I want to read to you part of this that Chris sent me. It's from a book, "When Heaven Invades Earth," by Bill Johnson. And he says, "Jesus could not heal the sick." Now, that caught me at first when I read that sentence. "Neither could He deliver the tormented from demons or raise the dead. To believe otherwise is to ignore what he said about himself. And more importantly, to miss the purpose of his self-imposed restriction to live as a man. Jesus Christ said of himself, "The Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing," John 5:19. In the Greek language, that word "nothing" has a unique meaning. It means nothing, just like it does in English. He had no supernatural capabilities whatsoever. He is 100% God. He chose to live with the same limitations that man would face once he was redeemed. He made that point over and over. Jesus became the model for all who would embrace the invitation to invade the impossible in his name. He performed miracles, wonders, and signs as a man in right relationship to God, not as God. If he performed miracles because he was God, then they would be unattainable for us. But if he did them as a man, I am responsible to pursue his lifestyle. Recapturing this simple truth changes everything and makes possible a full restoration of the ministry of Jesus in his church. What were the distinctions of his humanity? He had no sin to separate him from the Father. He was completely dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. What are the limitations of our humanity? We are sinners cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Through his sacrifice, he has successfully dealt with the power and effect of sin for all who believe. Now, nothing separates us from the Father. There remains only one unsettled issue. How dependent on the Holy Spirit are we willing to live? That's the question. Are we willing to submit ourselves, as Jesus did, to the will of the Father and also to the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives? Folks, in my lifetime, I can promise you, I have known times when I knew that God did through me what I could never do through myself. It amazed me. It was as if I was having a conversation with myself, and I knew it was otherworldly that God was doing these things. And it's because he loves me and that he wants me to believe in this power that is available. We are witnessing an anemic church today. We are so pitiful when it comes to power. We do everything. It's just like the quote that I gave you last week, 95% of what we do, we could do in our own power without the Holy Spirit. And many of us do that. But I don't want to do that anymore. Honestly, you know, I'm getting old. I know you don't believe that looking at me, but I am getting old. I want to live the rest of my life, and I want to minister the rest of my life. Not just in my power and through my education and skills. I want the power of God on my life. And I want you to have that power. I want this church to have this power. I want us to make a difference in Cordova. That truly, what everybody out there needs, we can give them because we're faithful to the Lord and his calling on our lives. The awareness that something is missing will prepare us for the something more. We have to believe that and believe with all our hearts that if the Holy Spirit truly is inviting us and wooing us, then by all means, let's accept his invitation. Now, before we come to the table, I want to share with you just a personal testimony of my pilgrimage with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. My wife and I are from Asheville, North Carolina. I was ordained in Riverside Baptist Church in May of 1975. Shortly after that, that was the era, late 60s and early 70s, when the charismatic movement, the neo-Pentecostalism movement, was sweeping all churches, and Pentecostalism was coming even into Baptist churches, and the understanding of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and tongues and healings and so forth split many Baptist churches. And looking back, we can see that both Pentecostals and Baptists and other denominations, we made a whole lot of mistakes on our own. I, at that time, as a young man just beginning to start my ministry and so forth. I was sort of turned off by that. And the way that my home church where I was ordained was split in half. Some of the people I loved with all my heart became charismatic, left, formed another church, and so forth. And it sort of put a bad taste in my mouth for all the amazing supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believed in the Holy Spirit, and I believed in His work. But all of the things they claimed, especially Pentecostal preachers on TV, they just deepened my prejudices because of the health and wealth gospel that comes out of Pentecostalism as well. And it just turned me off. And I sort of shut the door almost to the Holy Spirit's work in my life. Intellectually, I had the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as I had been taught in college, seminary, and so forth, and from my churches. But in my heart, I just had shut Him off. And He changed that. And I want to tell you how He changed it. Back in 1997, I'd gone to the dentist, and in this panoramic shot they took, they found a tumor in my right sinus. And he said, "Richard, we're going to have to take that out." He sent me to an oral surgeon. He said, it's an odd-looking tumor. It could be a tumor, and we're going to have to go in, do surgery, take it out. Well, I had never had anything like this. And I told him, I said, "Well, I'm getting ready to go to California to a pastor's conference." And he said, "Well, it doesn't make any difference. It's 2 or 3 weeks before we can get an operating room. You go on to your conference," which I did. Flew to California, Orange County. Big international pastor's conference. And one of the speakers I had read about, knew about, his name was John Wimber. He's deceased now. He is the founder of the Vineyard Movement. He's charismatic. He truly believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healing. And he came to speak, and of course all my guards went up. And here I am sitting in the audience with this tumor in my sinus. And, of course, I've thought about that the whole time. He gets up to speak, and before he speaks, he sprays his mouth. And he said, "I am so sorry. If you don't know me and if you're visiting here," he said, "I have to spray my mouth because I have very little saliva. I had a tumor in my sinus, and they had to do surgery, and I've lost all the capability. I have no liquid. So all through my talk, I'll have to spray my mouth." And I'm thinking, what? What? And I said, and then I started obsessing. I said, "God, is that my future? How will that affect my ministry?" And so forth. And you know how the enemy doesn't play fair? And all these things I was thinking. And at the end of his message, he said, "Now we're going to do something." He said, "You're from all denominations I know." We had Baptists, Episcopalians, Methodists, anything you can think of. Probably, I guess, 1,000 people there gathered. And he said, "This may seem strange, and if you're opposed to it, that's fine, but we just," and I have this on tape. I have it on tape. He said, we have a member of our church who God has gifted, and he can sense within the congregation things we need to pray for and ask for. I said, "Oh, Lord, here we go, please. I don't want all this stuff." And he said, "I'm going to have him come up," and this young kid comes up. He's probably in his early 20s, just think of Hayden Perry, that age group. And I'm watching this, and he stands up there chomping on chewing gum the whole time. And I thought he was just a kid. He said, "This is the gifted person in our church that God has gifted." And I'm thinking, my prejudice is just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And he gets up, and he says, "What he's going to do, he's going to call out things. And if the Holy Spirit reveals he's talking about you, you come up here, we're going to pray for you." And I said, "Oh, okay." And they start out, and somebody's got a real bad pain in their knee. And I'm thinking, all of us do. We've been here for about an hour and a half, you know, and diabetes and all. And, you know, I'm just getting more bored and more bored. And honest to God, he says, he stops and he thinks, he says, "There is somebody here who this week discovered that you have a tumor in your right sinus, and God wants to heal you." Honey, before I knew it, I was out of the pew, walked up there. Now, here's a Baptist pastor, a graduate of Vanderbilt. I got my doctorate from Vanderbilt. I'm up in front of this kid that is younger than my children, and the guy's still naming, and this young man comes up to me. I come up, there's a whole group of people praying. This young man, about 19, 20 years of age, he came up to me, and I'm standing there, and I still can't believe that I'm in the front of the church. And he came up and he said, "You're the one with the tumor in your sinus." I said, "Yes." And then he said something. He said, "Do you mind if I lay my hand on your chest?" Which I thought was a little strange. I said, "No." And he put his hand on my chest. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the things he told me, only the Holy Spirit would know. Only the Holy Spirit would know. And then he said, "You have no cancer. You'll go back. And it will be nothing. You don't have to be worried about this. You go home." And the Lord wants me to tell you one last thing. I promise you this. He said, "You need to rest more." The Holy Spirit is saying to you, you need to take time to rest. I went back, got on an airplane, flew back to North Carolina, had the surgery. He came out and he said, "Richard, I've never seen anything like it. I had to have a chisel to get it out. It was like a petrified stone in your sinus." Now, I want to tell you something, folks. My life experiences have helped me to not limit God, nor the power of the Holy Spirit. Am I Pentecostal? No, I'm still Baptist. But the Pentecostals have taught me to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it took the Pentecostals to break through to do that. Now, I want to say this to you. I have no idea. Some of you I'm seeing for the first time today, our guests. Others I've known for all these 15 years. In a couple of weeks, I'm here 15 years, starting my 16th year. Some of you have known you that long. But I want to say this to you, and I believe I'm being directed by the Holy Spirit. There are things in your life that you will gain victory over when you start to believe what the preacher's preaching right now, that the power of the Holy Spirit can meet any challenge you have. If you'll believe it, if you'll open your heart up to that. Now, it is one of the great, I want this to put up, I think, and I had slides and I have not followed my notes anywhere, but if you've got this slide, if you'll put it up, it is one of the great and painful truths of the Bible that our choice matters in regards to working with the Holy Spirit. What we choose. That's why I am opening my heart, and in a couple of weeks, Jerson will be preaching twice on the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see that we can either choose to do what I feel led to offer you as an invitation to go in a different direction led by the Holy Spirit and not just what we think we ought to do, but to truly seek Him in prayer and only do, like Jesus said, "I only do what I hear the Father telling me through the Spirit." May we do that same thing. Now, let me warn you with some scriptures, the final three scriptures I want to give you before I come to the table. The Bible says we can resist the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Acts 7:51, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." In one way, I did, dear ones, as a pastor. I want us not to resist Him, okay? But bring down the wall. Don't resist Him. We can grieve Him. Have you ever grieved? I have. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And then a third thing, we can quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. In many ways, precious ones, we choose our future. One, of our own making, or one empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Let's prepare ourselves as we come to the table.
Thank you.
last week I asked the congregation, how many of you prepared for worship today? You actually prayed, prepared your heart, prayed for the preacher, prayed for everything happening in the service. And I looked at you, I know many of you didn't. And I was not scolding you, I was just reminding you that we will have a different worship service if we prepare ourselves. The Holy Spirit will show up in different ways if we can come as prepared people. You know, Scripture tells us to prepare for this table. Paul told the Corinthians that many of them sick and died because they didn't prepare themselves. They come to this table in an unworthy manner or not in a spirit of submission. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He prepares us to take this Holy Communion. Our Catholic friends, they believe that these elements, the wine and the bread, have salvific qualities. Grace is given to us. Power is given to us because it really becomes the blood of Jesus. It turns into, mysteriously, the actual blood of Jesus, and it's healing as we take it. Now, we Baptists, we don't believe that it turns. It's symbolic, but I'll tell you this, I do agree that it can give us the power we need. There is something about it that's so holy and so precious when we come. And take this, and take that little piece of cracker, and take... When you do it today, do it in such a way that I... And just say this, oh, Jesus, thank you, and I receive your power in me. I receive it in your name. Do that. There's a verse that's been on my heart this week, and I've asked that they put it up. And if you would right now, it's Ephesians 3:20. If you would show that verse... Now, I want you to look at this verse with me. And I want us to divide it up before we take the elements. Now to him who is able to do. Now, I want to stop there. God is able to do. Think about that. God does things. He does things. Now to him who is able to do. He can do it. He does things. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We're going to ask for something. He will give us something even greater than that. If our heart is tuned to Him and He knows our heart, according to His power that is at work within us, that's what He's going to do. He will do it through us as He did it through Jesus. On that night, Jesus took a loaf of bread similar to this. And I love the pattern. Henry Nouwen gives us this pattern. He took it. He chose it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. That's the same pattern used throughout the New Testament. When Jesus eats with the two on the road to Emmaus, same pattern. Takes it. Blesses it. Breaks it. Gives it. You see, I am so glad that even in our lives, that the blessing of God precedes the brokenness. And we all will have brokenness because that's where He works the deepest in our lives. But folks, I want to tell you, don't worry about being broken. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And it comes under the blessing. He takes, He chooses you. He blesses you. He breaks you. We all need to be broken. We're wild stallions. There's nothing we can... He can't harness us for anything. We're bucking and a kicking. No. No. He breaks us so He can use us. And then He gives us to the world. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as our fathers ate and died. Remember what I'm telling you. You're going to be thinking about what I ask you to think about when you eat that little piece of bread? And folks, if you're not with me, it's not going to help you. But if you're with me, I truly believe today will be a day you'll remember for a long time. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as our fathers ate and died. He that eats this bread shall live forever. Father, we fill our hearts with thanksgiving to you. Let this bread speak to us of that precious body that was broken for us. May our hearts be open to your searching spirit as we share this communion with our Lord. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Our Lord took the cup and he told his disciples, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's not like the old covenant. The old covenant only covered our sins. It had to come yearly and ask forgiveness. Do you remember John the Baptist when he pointed to Jesus coming? He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There's no more covering. It is gone. It is obliterated. When you leave this earth, your sin will matter no more. You won't even recognize yourself when you get there. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. I want you to think about that. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But thanks be to God for the blood of Jesus Christ that takes our sin away. Heavenly Father, were it not for Jesus who shed his blood on our behalf, we could never come before you as your children. In him, we have sonship. In him, we have forgiveness and adoption. In him, we have boldness to call you Father and to pray for power. For your great love expressed in this emblem, we give thanks and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. On that night, the Bible says they sang a hymn and they went out. And it was dark, the Bible says. And they are the light of the world, taking the light of Jesus to the world. You are as well. I want to give this invitation. We still give invitations in this church. I had a person tell me this week, you know, Richard, when you give the invitation, you could even give the invitation to people just come and pray in the altar. They don't have to talk to you. And that's exactly right. You're talking to God. And I want you to feel that. If you ever feel that as we're singing, I have no idea how God touched your heart today, spoke to you. But I do believe with all my heart, I would not be led to be preaching the way I am, that there are some people here that God knows that they are listening to him, that they are tuned to his channel, and he is ready to bless you if you're willing. I give you that invitation. Do you want the Holy Spirit to be in your life in such a way that life is truly abundant, the abundant life of Jesus? Give you that invitation. All you do is ask. The Father's willing to give the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that. Ask. If you're a Christian and in your life you know that there's something missing, maybe it's not just you're trying harder. That's not going to do it. Maybe you don't need to do more. You need more. And that's the Holy Spirit to work through you. Ask for it. Ask for it. If you're here today and you've never entered into this eternal covenant we're celebrating today, you can't do it unless the Holy Spirit leads you. That's what Scripture says. That in your heart you will know that he's calling you. He's wooing you. You will know it. You're the one I encourage to say, Richard, may I talk with you? I really want to talk about this. And it's my honor to do that. You can come now or call me later. But I want to talk to you about it. And as we do every Lord's Day, we open up the doors of Trinity, this local body, and we're so grateful for new members who have joined us. And today, maybe you have been visiting with us, and you know your home. You know that this is your church. You know that I am your pastor. Come, and let us celebrate that together. But however God leads you today, would you stand, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, sing this hymn of commitment. Would you stand?